Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
.335 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. How insane is that, that a federal judge siding with those who want illegal aliens to vote here in our beloved Commonwealth? It's insanity. Governor Youngkin and Attorney General Meares simply enforcing a law that's been on the books. It was signed into law, I'm going to remind you, by Tiny Tim Kaine when he was governor. Right? No question about his party affiliation. He's a good, upstanding Democrat, and he enforced that law. Ralph Northam, remember him? He enforced the law. It was all fine until it's Governor Youngkin who decides to enforce the law. So, I don't know. It's craziness. But if things go the way they're supposed to go, we're 14 days away from this whole thing. It's amazing to me. Kamala Harris took the day off. Donald Trump is really, he's tired, he's out of shape. I'm taking the whole day off 2 weeks before the election to, quote, prepare for an interview. I guess that means she's going to be running lines with one of her writers and trying to figure out if they can salvage this pathetic thing. It's just awful. Anyway, that's the bad news. The good news is that Kevin Sorbo is coming to town. He's going to be right here in Central Virginia tomorrow evening. My friends over there at the Virginia Council are bringing him in. It's a beautiful venue. If you've not been to one of their events before in their speaker series, boy, you got to do it. And Kevin has fought the good fight, I would say, a man of faith and a conservative trying to make his way in Hollywood. Kevin, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. It's good to be here. We got a fight in our hands, and we all know it. And people better get out and vote, because trust me, those guys are very good at cheating that voter thing. So we got to fight back in a hard way.
There's no doubt about that. It was tough to me. Here I am. I'm preparing for you to chat with you. I've been a fan of your work for a long time. I didn't realize it's now like 10 years since God's Not Dead came out. Is that right?
That's true. It's 10 years ago, right about now. But, you know, since then, I've shot close to about 60 movies, so you guys have catching up to do. I've done 90 movies in my life, and I had two just out last year. I directed two of them that were in theaters last year. One's called Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist, based on the Jerry Jenkins, Tim LaHaye Left Behind books, and then the other one's called Miracle in East Texas, true story set in 1930 with the largest oil find in the history of the world. I highly recommend it, and I'm going to get it in sorbostudios.com. Please go to sorbostudios.com and sign up.
We are not going to have to pull out of you a selfless plug, are we? No, you go for it, man. Sorbos.com. I love it.
Well, you know what? I do movies that Hollywood used to do. I do movies that have hope and love and faith and redemption and laughter. Hollywood doesn't do that anymore, as you know. Yeah. Disney took a $1.4 billion loss last year with their woke crap, and people are tired of it. People want to see movies like what I'm doing, because I do movies that Hollywood used to do with good messages in there. And but we got to fight Hollywood, because they do $300 million movies with $100 million advertising budget. I do in $3, $4 million range. So we got a battle on our hands.
So explain to me why it is that Hollywood has just absolutely pooped the bed. Because it would seem to me, if you're in the business of making movies, you're looking for great films, you want to put rear ends in seats, in theaters, you want to make money, right? They're not in some sort of charitable business. Has it not occurred to anybody on the business end in Hollywood that gosh, we're just wasting a lot of money with this garbage?
You know what? I did a movie that I directed about, it came out in 2018. It was funded by Sean Hannity. It's called Let There Be Light.
Yes.
It's a wonderful movie. It opened number two. Here's a $2.3 million budget. Opens up number two per screen average against Thor Ragnarok, a $300 million movie with a $100 million advertising budget. I get a call from Netflix after the opening weekend on Monday. They say, hey, we see you have a foot in this inspirational world. We want to open an inspirational division right here at Netflix, and we want you to run it. So I have four meetings with them in their Hollywood offices over the next 4 months. And ultimately, they did nothing. My last meeting with them, I looked at them, and I realized this was all just BS. I said, you guys, there's 80 million homes that want the kind of movies that I do. And yet, you guys, you're in a capitalist business. You pretend behind closed door, in the open. Oh, we're for socialism and all that. Yeah. No, they're not. They're in the business to make money. Netflix is pretty profitable place, and it's capitalism that made them that. Why are they? Their ideology is so skewed and so insane and so brainwashed. But I could tell half the people in that room were agreeing with me, but they kept their mouths shut because they know they'll lose their jobs if they open their mouth.
Well, you know, I don't know whether to look at those people and say, gosh, I feel sorry for you or I'm angry at you. Are they cowards or are they just thinking, man, I got to pay the bills. I got kids in school. What am I going to do?
They're cowards. And they're cowards. Look, every movie I've been doing, I shoot about 3 or 4 movies a year easily the last 6, 7 years. Yeah. And every movie I do, people come up to me like we're doing a drug deal and say quietly, hey, thanks for being a voice for us. And I go, be a voice for yourself. Stop being the sheep out there, but they're all afraid that, you know, I got blacklisted. Hollywood booted me out 10 years ago before the cancel culture was even a term. And I formed several studios. We've been doing our own thing since. I love the business. I love the industry. I just don't like the politics of it. And I don't like the insanity that it's become. Because as you know, same thing in Washington, D.C., they openly lie, blatantly lie. There's hypocrisy where they wear in their sleeves and they don't care anymore.
Well, number one, let me remind everybody, SorboStudios.com is where they need to go to check out some of Kevin's work. I mean, great stuff there. But you say you got canceled 10 years ago, even before this whole cancel culture, the woke nonsense had really taken root. Was it just that they looked at you and said, you know what, Kevin, you're a man of faith. We don't want to talk to you. We just don't want to hear it anymore. Go away. Or was there something else? Were they open about it when they kicked you out?
Yeah, you know what? My manager and agent, who live on opposite sides of the hills there, one's in Studio City, the other one's in Beverly Hills, they call me in to come talk at one of the offices. They never get together. So I go, this is an intervention of sorts. And they said, we can't work with you anymore. The studios don't want to work with you because of your point of view on social media. I go, oh, you mean my point of view of telling the truth? And they said, yeah. They go, Kevin, they were great to me. I'm not bashing them. Yeah. They just said, I'll tell you what, the winds are changing very quickly here. Because it was always known I was a Christian and a conservative in Hollywood. I've been out there since 1986. Right. I mean, besides the movies, I mean, Hercules was the most watched TV show in the world in 176 countries. I shot that for 7 years, and Andromeda for 5 years, the first show Gene Roddenberry created. So they knew where I stood, but they said, we just can't do it. So I formed my own company because I still love being on the set. It's still a passion for me. It's been that way since I was a kid.
Why is it that I can count probably on one hand the number of people like you, like Kirk Cameron, one or two others that are open about it and said, look, I've got money in the bank, I guess. You know, I don't necessarily have to worry about getting that huge deal from Hollywood. I'm gonna do this. Are they hiding, or are they also saying, I can't afford to take a stand?
You know, there's more out there. Clint Eastwood's been very forward for years, but he's just too big to get rid of because he's such an amazing force. And you got Dennis Quaid now, who's been very vocal about it. He and I worked on the Reagan movie together, which is out streaming right now. And then you got Dennis Miller, you got John Voight, you got all these people. You look at John Voight and Dennis Miller, they said, look, I was a Democrat, but the party left me. I didn't leave it. And that's pretty much, if you want to go back to Reagan, that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hollywood, for the most part, was pretty conservative back when they first started in the 1920s and 30s. It was really the 1950s and 60s where things started to change. And it's amazing to me. I think there's plenty of people out there. The gays used to be in the closet in Hollywood. Now it's the Christian conservatives in the closet. But
it's crazy. It's Kevin Sorbo joining us. So make sure you're visiting SorboStudios.com. Kevin is actually going to be in town tomorrow for the Virginia Council. I just checked. There are a handful of tickets left. You want to go and get those tickets at thevirginiacouncil.org. So, Kevin, you get called on to make God's Not Dead. And I go back to that. I know it's 10 years ago, and I know you've made a number of films since that, great films. But that's the one that was, for me, was sort of a wake-up call. Because, you know, I thought, well, I go to the movies, I see things I like, and then I started realizing, geez, there's a lot of crap coming out that I don't want to go to. I certainly wouldn't take my kids to. So God's Not Dead comes out, and that's just like planting the flag and saying, okay, boys, it's on.
Yeah. Oh, no question. I did a movie 2 years earlier with the same company, PureFlix. Same writers. It's called What If. It was directed by Dallas Jenkins, who's doing a little thing called The Chosen right now, which is huge around the world. And when we did God's Not Dead, we knew we had something really good. Personally, I think What If is a better movie, but that's the problem, as I mentioned earlier, about getting promotional advertising out on wonderful movies. But God's Not Dead, $2 million budget. $2 million. We worked for nothing on the movie. People don't realize $2 to $3 million, that's maybe catering budget in Pirates of the Caribbean, okay? So, but this little movie made $140 million. And it was all word of mouth. I mean, it's a wonderful movie. And that really solidified for me that I want to do movies like that. Don't necessarily have to be faith-based movies, but I wanted to do movies that are family-friendly, movies that have better messages. Because I go to these Spider-Man or all these movies, it's 90% visual effects. They're fun to watch. It's a roller coaster ride, but you don't have any connection with the characters because they're not real.
Right.
And, you know, I like to do movies that I call actors' movies, where you get stories about people that people can relate to that are watching that movie.
How difficult was it for you to play that atheist college professor? Was it just the most difficult job you ever had, or were you thinking, well, I know how this ends, so I'm okay?
Well, that's part of it right there. But
yeah.
I'm an actor, number one. But number two, I know people like that. And I saw people like that on CNN, that there's actually presidents of atheist clubs. They go to the trouble of starting a rally about something they don't believe in. It's quite odd. I don't believe in broccoli, but I don't hold a rally for it. So it's just weird out there what people are doing. But I'm going to keep fighting on, man.
Well, I love it. So tell me a little bit about some of the work you've got going on now. Obviously, you're coming to town right here in Central Virginia tomorrow for the Virginia Council, and there are a handful of tickets left. Just so you know, Kevin, I just checked with the guys over there. Handful of tickets left. They go to the virginiacouncil.org. But you were on a little bit earlier today on a podcast with a buddy of mine out of Dallas, Brian Talley, who's got an amazing story. And now that I got you here, you should make a movie about him. You want to talk about a great story. But what are some of the projects you're looking at now moving forward?
Well, I've got, like I said, the Reagan movie's out streaming right now. I got another movie that just started streaming that I shot with Cuba Gooding Jr. It's called The Firing Squad. It's a true story set in an Indonesian prison.
Okay.
And then I've got three documentaries coming out early next year until Easter. One of them leading that way is dealing with The Last Supper. It's called Eating with the Enemy. And I've done about 12 documentaries now, and it's phenomenal. And then I've got... I got three movies in post-production right now. One we shot in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's called Another Life, True Story, and a gentleman that was born deaf and was able to finally be able to hear through science, and he became a mortician / comedian, stand-up comedian, true story. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful story.
You know,
and
the jokes are writing themselves about killing at that performance. I can't know. I'm not going there. But, wow, what a combination, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then I just signed a 6-picture deal with a funder out of Georgia. He's a man of faith, conservative, and he loves the movies I do. So I'll be directing and starring in 2 movies a year over the next 3 years. We're going to start filming the first one coming up here in February.
I love that. Now, are most of these going to be available to us via sorbostudios.com? Do you have releases around the country?
Well, eventually we're going to release some theatrically first. I mean,
okay. You
know, not as many people go to theater anymore because COVID kind of put an end to that because people got tired of it. But they're starting to pick up again, obviously. But anytime you can get any movie in the theaters, even for a weekend, it's got a cachet that makes it worthwhile, especially for Netflix and Amazon to want to pick it up. So all these, you know, are targeted for certainly theatrical releases.
You have any hope at all with the new, chairman of the board and CEO? They just named him, I think, yesterday, 2 different guys for Disney. Any hope that they'll fix things?
No, I don't. I honestly think they took a $1.4 billion loss, but here's the conspiracy theorist in me again.
Right.
I think that our tax dollars are going underneath the country from Washington, D.C. into the coffers over there at Disney, where they say, hey, you keep promoting this. It's like, you know, look, if you look at Roe v. Wade, when that thing passed 50 years ago, there was a big fight to get rid of it for about 3 or 4 years. But when you beat people over the head long enough, pretty soon it just becomes normal. So we've killed 65 million human beings in our country since Roe v. Wade. And, you know, and then you got somebody like Schumer and all those other guys and Clinton recently. I thought, we need to make all these illegal aliens, we need to get them in the workforce, we need to make them citizens right now because they just want to vote in more of a voting block for them. But the reality is, you guys have killed off the American workforce through abortion. So it's bizarre to me.
I'll tell you, it's twisted, and it on a personal basis, and you don't know me from Adam, and that's okay, Kevin, but I'm going to bug you tomorrow at the Virginia Council event. But, you know, my daughter is severely disabled, 22 years old, chronologically, developmentally 18 months old, and there comes a point when you deal with that, you can go one way or the other. You can say, oh my gosh, you know what? God stinks. Look what's happened to this. That's it. I'm like hardcore atheist. Or you say, okay, this is a really heavy lift. I don't know that I'm up to this, God, but okay. And I'm telling you, you see someone like my Julia, who's never said a word, Kevin, never said a word, right? I sit here, I blab all day, hours a week. She has touched more people never saying a word than I will with a million words. And those are the stories that I just, I think are so important. The stories you're sharing about people just coming to that T in the road and saying, all right, I got it. I can go left or I can go right. But I got to make the right choice. Somehow we got to do it. And you're giving them the sort of the mental ammunition.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
To do that.
Oh, no question. Look, when I speak tomorrow, I'm going to speak a little bit of my own story. Obviously, I didn't have to go through what you're going through with your daughter, but I went through my own illness. It took me 3 years to fully recover, and I easily could have died from it. So to me, it's like, okay. As my wife said, Kevin, this happened to you. What are you going to do about it? So, you know, what happened to you with your daughter, it's like, okay, this happened. What are you going to do about it? God never promised any of us an easy life. And there's got to find, you got to find a reason why this was a gift. In some way, this was a gift. And you have to find that out, because if you don't find it out, you're going to drive yourself absolutely insane.
Absolutely. Boy, I am so excited about you coming to town. And your wife sounds a little bit like my wife. Okay, yeah, that's what happened. Now what are you going to do? You know, rub some dirt on it, dude. Take a lap, get back in the game. And I'm just excited that you're coming to town. And on behalf of everybody here in Central Virginia, we appreciate it. We really do. We appreciate you making some time for us. It's going to be a great event tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope people I'll have some books to sign afterwards as well, and hopefully, I think we're doing a little Q&A as well.
Yeah, I know there's a little Q&A, there's a VIP reception beforehand, and I hope you will not be offended, but I'm going to be like a total dorky fan when I go, hey, Kevin, can I have a picture? But I really do. I want a picture with you, because I love what you're doing, brother. I really do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It takes a lot of courage, a lot of integrity. Kevin Sorbo, thank you for being here, my friend. SorboStudios.com, SorboStudios.com. You should go there. Seriously, go there right now. Take a look at some of Kevin's stuff. Tomorrow night, you need to be at the Virginia Council event. It's going to be right in Glen Allen. I'm telling you now, because I've been to a couple of things over there, it is a beautiful event. I don't think John Reed or the Virginia Council could have found a better location. It's just perfect. And to have a guy like Kevin Sorbo, who's made, I don't know, 100 movies, whatever it is, it's amazing. And to live the life he's lived and to be willing to take the stands that he takes, whew, that's a good dude. And tomorrow night, he's going to be in town for the Virginia Council. They do have some tickets available. Again, I just checked, I don't know, an hour ago, 2 hours ago, whatever it was, thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.